Welcome back. We are joined by Matt Brodsky, the Director of Policy at a very important organization here in Washington, the Jewish Policy Center. He, among other things, edits its journal, In Focus Quarterly, required reading if you're interested in national security, specifically as it relates to the Middle East, but a wonderful resource all the way around. Matt, it's great to have you with us again. Happy New Year to you straight away for 2011. Glad to be kicking it off with you.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Listen, we're interested at the moment in a new push that we're told the Obama administration is making to improve relations with Syria. It's been doing this really since it came to office to varying degrees of effort and urgency. But at the moment, we're told Dennis Ross, a man you know well, has been tapped to replace George Mitchell, the outgoing presidential envoy, and he seems intent on doing once again what he has tried to do, Dennis Ross has, under previous presidents, namely get Israel to give the Golan Heights back to Syria. I'd like to talk with you about that, but let's do it after we talk for a minute or two here about what Syria is doing that argues against any reward of any kind, let alone so important a one.
Well, clearly they're undeserving of any rewards at this point. But most interesting is the recess appointment of the ambassador to Syria. Returning one right now indicates that Obama really thinks that there is something that can be done with Syria. And the timing is incredibly suspect. The Special Tribunal for Lebanon is set to hand down indictments, which will undoubtedly hold Hezbollah responsible and also point at Assad's inner circle. That's coming within a matter of weeks. And you also have satellite imagery that discovered a new missile and nuclear-looking site that looked like the North Korean-built site that was destroyed in 2007. And that came out in the Jerusalem Post, it was reported, earlier in December. So their behavior is rogue. It continues to be so. And the Obama administration is apparently seeking to reward them now.
Let's dwell for a minute on Lebanon, because, as you say, this report, unless it somehow staved off, and obviously the Syrians, Hezbollah, the Iranians, and others are working very hard at doing that. But this report, which we expect will implicate certainly Hezbollah operatives, and it would appear at least Bashar Assad by implication, as they're the kind of immediate sponsor of Hezbollah, as you know. This is, we're told, giving rise potentially to a coup d'etat by Hezbollah against what remains of an independent government in Lebanon. Do you see that in prospect, and what would the Syrian involvement be should it come to pass?
Well, first of all, Syria, their number one strategic foreign policy interest is to regain and retain domination over Lebanon. That's its first goal. That is not a goal for the United States. So in looking at that, anything that happens with the special tribunal, the Syrians are working now with Saudi Arabia to come up with some form of arrangement that would keep the Lebanese political system intact. Intact, of course, meaning with Hezbollah in the lead. All of this is happening because the United States right now is refusing to actually lead and direct in the Middle East. It's not having conversations with Saudi Arabia saying, this is what we'd like to see happen. So in Lebanon, the situation is basically going to be the same, and Syria is going to come out ahead even after the special tribunal, because no one's really going to end up holding them to account.
Well, let me just reintroduce you. We're talking with Matt Brodsky of the Jewish Policy Center, where you direct policy for your group. Let me just ask you, because it sounds in a way we are, I think you're right, not leading, but we seemingly are expressing no objections to the kind of deals that the Syrians and the Saudis are engaged in, because I guess this sort of fits the larger agenda that we've been talking about, Matt, of kind of accommodating Syria, of looking the other way at the kind of mischief it's making. You mentioned this nuclear facility, as you said earlier, a similar North Korean plant had been destroyed by Israel. If this is in fact going forward, presumably it'll be a little harder to get at this time for the Israelis should they decide they need to take it down again. But there's also been, as you know, an enormous number of missiles that are now pointed at Israel that have been provided to Hezbollah by the Syrians, or at least through Syria, that is changing the complexion of the problem. Tell us, as you see it now, the strategic challenge that this kind of Syrian Hezbollah axis represents.
Well, it used to be that Syria acted more as the waypoint for weapons being transferred from Iran. But now we see that there are a lot more weapons and missiles, such as Scud missiles and anti-aircraft weapons, that are coming off of Syria's shelf itself. So, I mean, it is in Syria's interest, as President Assad sees it, to keep Hezbollah armed. So, that's the strategic balance he wants, is to have Hezbollah as an asset, to have Hamas as an asset. I mean, it therefore makes the entire thing that the United States is looking for, to try to, quote, flip Syria away from Iran, it's, you know, this is fool's gold. It's actually in Syria's interest, because its importance in the region rests on its ability to cause mischief.
Yeah. Let's come then to this idea of actually greatly increasing Syria's ability to make mischief, including quite possibly once again threaten Israel with conventional forces, namely the upshot of the relinquishing of the Golan Heights. Tell the audience, you know, what the Golan Heights is, why it has had such strategic importance over the years, and what Dennis Ross and the Obama administration apparently have in mind for it.
Well, the Golan Heights is a strategic plateau high above Israel, the Galilee area, and for many years, rockets would rain down from Syria onto Israel. So this area was captured.
What's that? From the Golan.
Correct, right. So the area was captured by Israel in the 1967 war. The past peace process faltered along many things, but one issue was whether Syria would have access to the Sea of the Galilee, which is something in all the peace talks throughout the 1990s, what they were asking for kept getting larger and larger, and what they wanted was access to the lake. And this is essentially where things are going to falter right now. It would not be a great idea for Israel, certainly, to give up the Golan Heights and give that strategic location back to the Syrians. And beyond that, given that the United States and the international community can't even prevent Hezbollah from being rearmed by Syria, why would anyone trust that Syria would not arm the Golan and still be passing weapons off to people? It seems like a horrible idea all around.
Yeah. Now, one of the new developments in just the past couple of days is that the chief of the Israeli armed forces, I believe his name is General Ashkenazi, is leaving his post and is expected, as have quite a number of other former military officers, to migrate to politics. I'm given to understand, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt Brodsky, that this is a new factor in the equation, because he evidently has decided he's going to champion the surrender of the Golan. As a man who presumably has some knowledge of strategy and the implications of the relinquishing of these strategic heights, what on earth is Ashkenazi thinking?
Well, here there's actually the domestic Israeli political scene that comes into play here. From what I understand, it really is 3 years after you leave the military, you can't run for office. So essentially, right now, he can't run in the next elections that would come up. So if you're a politician or you're an ex-military person and you'd like to make a splash and you'd like to make a name for yourself, what you do is stake out a giant position on something that makes headlines and banners, like he's doing right now.
I see.
Who knows what'll happen when he can actually run, but people in Israel having, you know, a Syria-first kind of approach, you know, where they see that as an easier issue to deal with than the Palestinian Authority, it's nothing new for them to plug for going in that direction. But I wouldn't make a lot out of it, and it's not something that would really be adopted, I don't think, by you know, Netanyahu right now.
Yeah, well, look, it's a good thing that he can't go run for office at the moment, so we'll be watching this closely. And as we will, and I'm sure you will as well, Matt, and we'll hope to have you back to discuss it, the prospects for an international recognition, including perhaps by Barack Obama, of the so-called unilateral declaration of a Palestinian state. These are the sorts of things out of which I'm afraid great mischief, as you put it, can be made. In fact, actually, wars can be made. Matt Brodsky, thank you so much for joining us from the Jewish Policy Center. Keep up the great work, and we'll look forward to talking with you again very soon.